This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up in a little bit. What the message that the Panthers relayed or showed, the message that the Panthers made this past couple of days. In fact, these last 2 weeks, we'll get to that coming up. Hey, don't forget to get your picks in. As always, every week you have till Friday, 5 p.m. at charlestonsportsradio.com to get your weekly pick'em contest picks in for the football weekend. And if you win, you'll have a chance to get yourself a gift card at FanZone. Speaking of picks for the football weekend, joining us now as he does at this time every Thursday is Lee Sterling. Check out ParamountSports.com. Follow him on Twitter at Paramount Sports. One of the best handicappers around. He joins us every week. He's with us now. Lee, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. When you're winning, it's fun. And, I mean, what a great time we're going into. We've already got football going on. We've got baseball playoffs, which have been incredible the last couple nights. UFC's been there. They're there every Saturday. And then starting Tuesday, hockey. The Tuesday after that, basketball. I may not talk to my wife until after New Year's.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, this must be the busiest time of the year for you at all the sports.
It is. It is. Until probably around probably mid-December. Yeah, we go here. We're here sometimes till 12, 1 in the morning. So anyone wants to call the 800 number, don't be surprised if we answer the phone. So when you're winning, it's fun, and we enjoy what we do. I have a good group of guys that work hard. And right now, last year, combined college and pro football, I sell my picks besides my website at Covers, and it's great because independently monitored. There's almost 40 handicappers. We were number one in football, combined college and pros, number one in hockey, and now we're number three in baseball, so with a bullet. So feel good about everything.
Yeah, I can understand why. Check out ParamountSports.com. Lee joins us every week for five picks of the football weekend. Last week, we went 2-3 on those five. Let's get to the five here for this upcoming week, and we start in the SEC on Saturday. Georgia against Auburn. We just saw Georgia look dominant once again this past weekend. Now they get Auburn. Georgia favored by 14. Who do you like in that one?
Georgia's defense is scary good. I mean, teams are running for only 2.3 yards against them. Teams are passing 4.7 yards per pass attempt. When they get like two first downs, they're celebrating, you know, like they won the game. They're allowing just 23 points all year. So they are clearly the number one defense right now in the country. And Bo Nix, he's not going to be able to get away with freelancing versus this defense. Last year they held him to 6 points. This year his receivers aren't even close to where they were last year when Georgia won 27-6. And Georgia's better this year. Georgia big, 34-7.
The other dominant team in college football right now, Alabama. Alabama and Georgia are in a class of their own. Everybody else is behind them. Alabama just came off a big blowout win as well. Now they take on Texas A&M, another big number here. Alabama favored by 15 on the road against A&M. What do you like in that one?
So it's conceivable. If Alabama and Georgia face each other, and it's a good game, they could stay 1-2 going into the playoffs. So Nick Saban, 24-0. Versus his former assistants after he throttled the Lane train last week. And the Lane train, I mean, he threw everything out at him. He was going for it every fourth down past his 40-yard line. But problem here for Jimbo Fisher is his offensive line. They lost 4 out of 5 starters from last year. Can't protect the quarterback. And Zach Calzada, just his limitations are being exposed big time. He holds onto the ball way too long. Bama's Bryce Young. He's going to win the Heisman if things were settled right now. 17 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. And no one's even talking about it. I mean, he's solid, but it's just not many other candidates this year. His running back, Brian Robinson, starting to draw comparisons to the best running backs the Tide have had in the last decade. A&M's defense is good, but they're not Georgia good, and that's the only way you keep a game close here. Another Saban assistant goes down. That's number 25 if you're counting. Down goes Jimbo, Alabama 45-14.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I mean, the line is, 14, 15, whatever it is.
A&M, 17.5.
Oh, 17 now 17.5. Yeah, A&M hasn't even scored that many points on their own in two of their last three, Power 5 games. So we'll see what happens. That offense has been lousy. Also in the SEC, a game of interest here locally, of course, Tennessee and South Carolina. The Gamecocks go to Tennessee, coming off that huge win against Missouri. Tennessee now favored by 10 against the Gamecocks. What do you see there?
Boy, they put it all together last week, Tennessee. Now, Missouri has a terrible defense, but I just saw a team that was confident, and everything's really starting to come together here. This is like this game resembles a thoroughbred versus a mule. So Tennessee's offense here, scary good last week. In South Carolina, averaging just 16 points per game versus four SBS opponents here. Hendon Hooker looks comfortable. Gamecock quarterback Luke Doty, I mean, he's a game manager, let's be honest. And their defense, they can only keep it tight for so long here. Gamecocks, on top of that, 3-11 against the spread as an underdog. Give me the Vols, 38-17.
Shifting to the NFL, for me, the game of the week, it's Kansas City, Buffalo. Buffalo has gone here three straight blowouts, but against three lousy teams. So this will be a huge test for the Bills. Kansas City, that defense has been shaky. This game is Sunday Night Football in Kansas City. The Chiefs favored by 2 at home against the Bills. What do you expect there?
And here's what I'm hearing. A bunch of Bills players in the offseason chirping that if they had 4 or 5 more minutes, they would have beaten Kansas City. I don't think that Kansas City and Andy Reid haven't forgotten that. Their defense isn't very good at all, but their offense is special. And here's what's going on with Buffalo. Their secondary, they could be without Poyer, their best safety. Their two starting cornerbacks are listed as probable and questionable. They are not 100%. They like to funnel everything into the safeties, which are both maybe the two best combo in the NFL, tackling, playing on the ball, just so instinctive. And if you got 3 out of 4 guys that have a hamstring, have groin injuries, that is not a good setup versus this Kansas City offense here. So I think Patrick Mahomes, who went out of that game last year with a concussion, he puts it on him. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think also Josh Allen will run the ball more than he has this year. They'll let him loose here. They've told him, I think, to cut it back on the running first couple games, save it for some big games here. But I like Kansas City in the shootout, 37-30.
And the fifth pick, an intriguing game. The Carolina Panthers are at home. Philadelphia's coming to town. That Eagles offense has been able to, well, certainly last week, score some points. The Panthers may still be without Christian McCaffrey. Carolina favored by 3 at home against the Eagles. Who do you like there?
Yeah, the Eagles are putting up some yards. Jalen Hurts, game against Dallas, 326 passing yards. Well, they lose by 21 points. Next game, 387 against Kansas City, still lost by 12. So, most people know that when you throw for 326 and 387 yards, that's often for losers. Dallas ran right at Carolina's defense with some success here. I don't think the Eagles have that kind of offense here that can do that. And Carolina, the message they sent to their players, to their fans, making those acquisitions the last couple days, I think they mean business here. And Sam Darnold's looked really good. I mean, even without maybe the number one weapon in the NFL, they're going to continue scoring here, and I think their special teams will have a big advantage too. Give me Carolina, 30-20.
Talking with Lee Sterling on Twitter at Paramount Sports, joins us every week. And Lee, this week your game of the week, Coastal Carolina. They've been rolling. They're favored by 19 this weekend against Butch Jones and Arkansas State. How can the listeners get that pick?
Yeah, this is an interesting game. You want to find out if this is a blowout or, is this a trap game for Coastal Carolina. Just call me. Call that number, 800-400-9741. We'll give that game away for free. Got a real strong opinion, 800-400-9741. And if you'd like to come on board, like I said, we are having an incredible year. We always do well, but this year we're just clicking on all cylinders in every sport. Football, through the end of the month, it's not October. We call it Locktober, $297 for 4 weeks. In baseball, I mean, we're right now, the last 4 months been on a roll, over 64% the last 2 months in the bases, and had a big win with the under last night. How about this? Drew the World Series, just $97 It's all up and available. And check out the website. You know, there's a bunch of other big games going on, college football in the NFL, Oklahoma and Texas, Iowa and Penn State, other games in the NFL, Pittsburgh and Denver. I made videos on the website, ParamountSports.com. You can watch those videos in 2 minutes. You can see my breakdowns on those games. So everything's up and available. Check out the website. Love to have you join us, ParamountSports.com.
Perfect. Check them out. Big weekend in sports, so check out ParamountSports.com. Follow Lee on Twitter at Paramount Sports, and he joins us every week. Lee, appreciate the time as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
Okay, Luke. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you as well. Lee Sterling, who gives us his picks of the week every Thursday here on the show. Speaking of which, a trend that is very interesting in the NFL to keep an eye on, especially this Sunday. I'll let you know what that is coming up. And we do have Thursday Night Football tonight. It's a rule on the show. I got to give you a pick for every national NFL game. We've been on a roll with our own picks. So coming up a little bit later on, we'll look at the Rams-Seahawks tonight. And I'll let you know who I like there. Plus, it is Thursday, so that means we got to get to our wrestling wrap-up. We'll do that coming up as well. We got a lot to do here in the final hour. So I'll let you know when we come back, we'll do our wrestling wrap-up, and I'll let you know an interesting trend to keep an eye on this Sunday in the NFL. And we'll do it next. It's the Tomorrow Midday Show. Right here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today?
It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
A trend to watch this Sunday in the NFL. I'll share it with you here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Whose version is this?
Irma Thomas.
Oh, never heard this one before. We'll get to our wrestling wrap-up coming up as well here on a Thursday. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Lee Sterling. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast, and you can find Lee's picks there on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Speaking of picking games, before we get to the wrestling wrap-up, I want to bring up this trend going on in the NFL because I find this very interesting, and I don't really know why it's been going on. Now, this is from a betting perspective, but you always take that betting perspective, you can apply it to the game itself. Right? So when you look at the NFL, every Sunday so far, we're 4 weeks in, all 4 weeks, the 4 p.m. underdogs are 3-1 against the spread. So that late window, underdogs are 12-4 against the spread so far this year. We have seen, at least against the spread, that doesn't always mean they win outright. I'd have to go back and look at that, what their record is straight up. But at least against the spread, you're seeing a lot of upsets, almost all upsets, in that late window. I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's, you know, people that are chasing losses, but I don't think you would move the line that much late, you know, last minute. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but the wrong team has been favored in most of those late games. Now, I bring this up because when I look at this week in particular, if this trend continues, you have Bears at the Raiders. Raiders are favored by 5.5. You have Browns at the Chargers. Chargers are favored by 2. Giants at the Cowboys. Giants are 7-point underdogs, and the 49ers at the Cardinals. The Cardinals are favored by 5. I think I like all 4 underdogs from a betting perspective. And when you talk about why you're trying to win outright, the Browns, I could certainly see beating the Chargers on the road. Right? You always look at the previous week. How do they do? And I talked about this with South Carolina and Tennessee. I think for Tennessee, they're as big of a favorite as they are a little bit because of what we saw this past week. That line, I think, is a little inflated because they just dropped 62 on Missouri. A lot of times the team will struggle. They'll get blown out. They'll become a bigger underdog the following week. That's when you want to bet on them. So the Browns scored only 7 points last week, And meanwhile, you watch the Chargers beat an undefeated Raiders team on Monday Night Football, and you think, wow, this team's pretty good. But the Browns are also pretty good. Both teams are 3-1. There's no home field advantage there for the Chargers. They're on a short week. I could certainly see the Browns going in there and winning that game outright on the road. I don't know if the Giants beat the Cowboys, but I'm surprised that number is as large as it is at 7. The Cowboys are playing really good football. But the Giants finally put it together, beat the Saints on the road last week. 7 seems like a lot. Daniel Jones is a top 5 quarterback statistically right now. He's been playing really well. And the Giants, in their last 2 losses, did hold leads in the fourth quarter. They certainly, and we could say this about most NFL teams, but the Giants could potentially be sitting at 3-1 right now instead of 1-3. That's how close they've been in some of those losses. Should have beat Washington football team on the road in a short week if a former Clemson Tiger didn't jump off sides on a field goal. So the Giants may be better than that record seems, and the Cowboys, as good as that offense is, still questions about the defense. They get turnovers. That's where the Cowboys' defense is really good, but Daniel Jones hasn't been turning over the football as much this year. Maybe that changes on Sunday. But I like the Giants certainly with that number. I'll give you my official picks tomorrow. But as a 7-point dog, I like them there. I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if the Giants win outright. I know, back-to-back road games, divisional game, this and that. Right? It is a bit of a tough spot for New York, but I think the Giants are underrated, even with their 1-3 record. And the last game in that 4 o'clock window, the 49ers-Cardinals. The 49ers are 5-point underdogs against the Cardinals. That's another one that I think the Cardinals, you just saw blow out the Rams. They're undefeated, last undefeated team. The Niners lost to the Seahawks, and Jimmy Garoppolo gets injured. And Trey Lance didn't play great last week. So I think that's another one where that number's inflated a little bit. That we're you know, it's a week-to-week business in the NFL. A lot of people don't view it that way. And they'll just go off of, you know, well, the Cardinals just blew out the Rams. And they're at home, and the Niners, oh, they have to go with Trey Lance. Well, we saw the Rams just have a letdown after they beat the Buccaneers. Big win there. Then they went to go take on the Cardinals and laid an egg. Now the Cardinals just got the biggest win in this era, right, in this 3-year window of Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. Now they welcome in the Niners, back-to-back division games. They just played a great game on the road. Now they're traveling back home as well. And the 49ers, most people are probably down on because they had to go to Trey Lance, who did not play well last week. He's a rookie, still raw. They just lost to the Seahawks, which was not a good loss for the 49ers. You're probably thinking like, oh, this 49er team's not very good. But they've lost their last 2 games by just 1 possession. And going into that game, we were talking about the Seahawks, how Russell Wilson has never lost 3 games before, 3 games in a row before, and he beat the Niners to avoid that losing streak. Well, for the Niners, this would be their 3rd straight loss if they lose to the Cardinals. Good teams don't usually lose 3 in a row, and I do think this is a good San Francisco team. Trey Lance will have a week now to get prepared. He'll actually get first-team reps. Shanahan will actually game plan for Trey Lance if he is their quarterback. So from a betting perspective, I really like all 4 underdogs. But even just from a straight-up perspective, would I be surprised if the Giants beat the Cowboys? No, I wouldn't. I don't think there's, even despite their records, I don't think there's that big of a gap between them so far this year. Would I be surprised if San Francisco gave the Cardinals their first loss of the year? No, I wouldn't. I think the Cardinals, last undefeated team in the league right now, I think they're being a little overvalued. I know Bill Parcells, I use the quote all the time, you are what your record says you are, but I don't think that's always true. Are the Cardinals the best team in the NFL? They deserve credit for being the only undefeated team left, but no, I don't think there's some sort of unbeatable team. Right, Browns, Chargers. The Chargers have played, I like the Chargers. I have them as a playoff team this year. I did from the draft. But they've been known to find ways to lose games. They did against the Cowboys for a while there. It looked like they may do it Monday night against the Raiders. So I just wanted to bring it up. A trend in the NFL that late window, the 4 o'clock games, underdogs at least against the spread are 12-4 this year. They've gone 3-1 every week. That's where we see the upsets. More so in that late window than the early window. And when you look at the 4 games this weekend, I think just about all 4 could provide some upsets. So look forward to Sunday in the NFL. I'll give you all my official picks tomorrow for a football Friday. We'll get ready for the full weekend of football. We'll preview Tennessee and South Carolina. That's a very intriguing game on Saturday in college football. Iowa-Penn State is almost like an early playoff game with those two on Saturday. We'll get to all that on the show tomorrow. But every Thursday, we do a wrestling wrap-up. Joe, do you have your wrestling wrap-up ready to go?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, it is that time. We do it every week on the show. We break down, producer Joe breaks down what's going on in the wrestling world to get you all caught up every Thursday. It's our wrestling wrap-up.
It's time.
Look at this.
For producer Joe's.
He's got the fans behind him.
Wednesday wrestling wrap-up.
It's like a dream come true.
Right here.
He's all fired up now.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
And if they're smart, they'll listen. So what are we waiting for?
Well, what are we waiting for? We have some upcoming specials and pay-per-views. WWE will have Crown Jewel from Saudi Arabia on October 21st. Okay, Impact will present Bound for Glory that weekend on October 23rd. And in fact, tonight it will be the, not tonight, but this weekend on Saturday, the Knockouts Knockdown will take place. That's going to, and the winner of the tournament for that night will have a future shot at the Knockouts Championship, currently held up by Deonna Purrazzo. And it's also going to feature the Shannon Daphne Spruill Memorial Monsters Ball match.
Nice.
Okay, participants to be announced. All right, the NWA will present By Any Means Necessary on October 24th, and I know you're a Halloween guy.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're going to be watching Halloween Havoc on NXT on the 26th on USA Network.
Of course. I always loved Halloween Havoc.
Okay. All right, and Impact has announced last week that they're going to have a tournament for a digital media championship, and the finals will be held at Bound for Glory. I guess we've had television championships for so long, and now, you know, so much of it has gone to streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why not?
Got to keep with the times.
Right. Okay. And then Toni Storm of WWE's SmackDown brand announced her engagement to New Japan and Impact's Juice Robinson. He was known as CJ Parker in NXT. And I like the quote she put on Instagram. Pop the champagne, I'm changing my last name.
Nice.
Okay. Brian Knobbs of the Nasty Boys. He broke his clavicle and also cracked his head, having to have 9 stitches to sew him back up as he fell at a rehab facility.
Oh,
he's been recovering after being hospitalized in August for some stomach and knee issues. But, you know, sounds like he is getting better, though.
Yeah, that is a tough couple of months for him.
Right. Okay, NXT UK will have fans for the first time at the BT Sports studios. And that'll be next week. So that's, you're not going to just look at an empty studio with a crowd noise piped in somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the first time they've had fans in attendance in 18 months.
Nice.
Okay. And the main event for that event, the main event for that card will be NXT UK champion Ilya Dragunov taking on A Kid.
Ooh.
No, he's not a kid.
Oh.
He's known as A Kid.
Oh.
A hyphen kid.
Ah.
All right. Parker Boudreaux. Yeah, a big UCF football player, you know, of course, he's now into wrestling, and he actually debuted this week on NXT as Harlan.
I did see that.
Yeah, and shaved his head and everything, so he's gone with a different look.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and also there's been rumors going around about the executive vice presidents at AEW. President Tony Khan said that he's, you know, the guys still have creative power. What he has taken more control of is the other aspects of, you know, the business for as far as the shows, making things go right and things, you know, and all that other stuff.
Well, they, okay, instead, take control of your football team instead, Khan family, and that head coach of yours. That's what you have to do.
Some results from the WWE draft, which I'm surprised Bobby didn't go over some of this stuff.
Wow, shocking.
Yeah, he's always into drafts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, SmackDown Women's Champion Becky Lynch was drafted to Raw. And on the flip side, Raw Women's Champion Charlotte Flair was drafted to SmackDown, so of course they're switching championships. Okay, and some South Carolina connections. Shelton Benjamin will remain on Raw. Like Bobby, he is an Orangeburg native, and he's the guy that makes Bobby the second most famous man from Orangeburg.
Of course.
Okay, and Buford's Lacey Evans, who's out on maternity leave right now because she is out, just like some of the other ones who appear from time to time, like John Cena, and some of the ones who are out injured, like Bayley, okay, she's considered a free agent.
Ah.
So she's still under contract, just not on a brand as of yet.
Okay.
Okay, now, Dynamite is going to be moving to TBS on January 5th, but Rampage on Friday will remain on TBS. On TNT, excuse me. So they're on both stations, so each station has a title, and each station has a division as well.
How about that?
All right, and of course, tonight is a big one. Major League Wrestling will have Fightland on Vice TV, and this will have the two longest-reigning champions as of right now.
Oh, boy.
Okay, world champion Jacob Fatu, who won his title in July of 2019, will be facing national openweight champion Alex Hammerstone, who won his title in June of 2019. And this has also now been declared a no disqualification match.
That's almost like the 2016 World Series, when it was the Cubs-Indians with their two long World Series droughts, and one of them was going to finally win a World Series. This is kind of the opposite. One of these guys is going to finally lose the belt. Big deal.
Well, I think if I'm not sure if Alex Hammerstone has to give up the National Openweight Championship if he loses.
Well, in that case.
So, if he loses, both streaks continue. But if he wins, only one well, actually, both streaks will probably come to an end because being a world champion, he'll probably have to give up the National Openweight title.
How about that?
All right, and between now and then, have a slamming good time.
All right, our weekly wrestling wrap-up. Who's the bigger star out of Orangeburg, South Carolina? Bobby Harton or Shawnee Smith, who was in five Saw films and also on the show Becker and Anger Management with Charlie Sheen?
She was also in the movie Summer School with Mark Harmon. And I believe she was in one of the John Candy movies. I think it was Who's Harry Crumb?
Yes, that's correct. I see that here. So that's tough competition. Or what about either Bobby for that second spot or Monique Coleman, who was in a High School Musical and also the Disney, I think this is a Disney show, The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody?
I didn't realize she was from Orangeburg.
Yeah, she was on Dancing with the Stars as well. There's some tough competition for that number two spot out of Orangeburg.
Yes, there is. Well, because Shelton Benjamin, he's known in Australia, he's known in Europe, known in Japan.
Yeah.
So kind of hard to top him right now.
Okay, if you say so. There you go. There's our wrestling wrap-up for the week. Coming up, I'll break down tonight's Thursday Night Football game before we go. But when we come back, the message that the Panthers have sent over really the last 2 weeks, we'll get to that next. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, the message the Panthers have sent the last 2 weeks. Get to that here on the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Check out Lyra Lee's Dry Cleaners now with their to-go service. Can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, and casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. Call or text them at 843-377-6994 to schedule a free pickup today. And mention that you heard about Lyra Lee's right here on ESPN Radio and get 20% off your next order. You can even track your dry cleaning, see exactly when to be ready or delivered. Lyra Lee's Dry Cleaners, now at their to-go service, easier than ever before. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Somebody said on the text line, if Urban Meyer is fired by year's end, imagine if Joe Brady gets the job there and is paired with Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, that'd be a nice little combination. I think Joe Brady is on that Sean McVay path. But even more so, we didn't really know about McVay beforehand. I mean, you kind of did. And when the Rams interviewed McVay, he wasn't even their first option, but he was so good in the interview that they said, oh, we got to give this guy the, we can't let him get away. Somebody else is going to hire him. We have to hire him. So he wasn't as big profile, big of a profile at the time as certainly he quickly became. Joe Brady more so because LSU, they won the national championship. That was his offense. Now the job he's doing in Carolina, I think he's done a good job the last 2 years. And so, Joe Brady, if he were to go to Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, that would be a nice little combo for those two after the job he did at LSU with Joe Burrow. But I don't know if Urban gets fired at year's end. I think, if anything, he would have to leave. If the Jaguars go 2-15 and there's more drama and his reputation took a hit and people are talking about him, maybe he'll just leave, especially with USC open. LSU will probably be open. Two big jobs in college football. And maybe Urban wants to return to college. I have no idea. But I don't think the Jaguars would fire him 1 year into a four-year deal. With the way that the Jaguars, you know, they don't invest a ton of money to begin with in the team itself. They have their other things going on, soccer teams, wrestling companies. So I don't think 1 year in they'd pull the plug on Urban. I'm sure they understand this is a bit of a process. Now, Urban continues to embarrass himself. That doesn't help. But I think if he were to be gone, it would be his decision over the next 12 months. And I do think somebody in college would still hire Urban Meyer because he's had red flags before and he continues to get jobs. At the end of the day, as long as you can win football games, right, people will overlook all the other stuff, overlook the negatives. So I think if Urban wanted, yeah, I think absolutely. LSU, USC, some other school, like maybe even a second-tier program would be even more desperate. Somebody would hire him, even if he does bail on Jacksonville or as bad as this whole last week may look for him. Also asked how many draft picks the Carolina Panthers have now after these last couple of deals. They've given up a few. I looked it up earlier, and then I lost track of it. I don't have that in front of me. Oh, here it is. I mean, the Panthers for 2022, next year's draft, still have the first-round pick. They've traded away the second, third, fourth. They did get a fourth back from the Texans. They traded a fifth. It's hard to actually keep track of this list because there's been so many deals involved. I'll put it this way. For the Panthers, their first-round pick in 2022 and their fifth-round pick are the only ones that have not been touched. Second-round pick was in the Sam Darnold deal. Third-round pick with C.J. Henderson. Fourth-round pick, this was also Sam Darnold. Then they got a fourth round from the Rams and the Texans. They got one from the Texans. Then they traded it. I don't know. Fifth round involved something with the Vikings and the Jaguars. Sixth round, they traded to the Bills. Then they got one from the Raiders. Seventh round, they traded to the Raiders. They got one from the Dolphins. Anyways, it's a whole thing. Scott Fitterer has made more trades since arriving in January than the Panthers made the previous 3 years combined. So there's a lot of moving pieces. When it comes to 2023, the only draft pick they don't have is the sixth rounder they just traded yesterday for Stephon Gilmore. This upcoming draft could be a little crazy for the Panthers. But I've always said when it comes to baseball and you talk about prospects, I'd rather have, what's that old expression? A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush? Something like that? Right? I'd rather have like the known commodity than the potential. Sure, that draft pick could turn out to be even better, or it could turn out to be nothing. You may not capture those two birds in the bush. I think that's the whole point of that expression. I think it's like a hunting phrase. You'd rather have one already than try to go get two others, even if there's more, right? Even if it's two compared to one, but you'd rather have the sure thing, right? Isn't that the whole point of that phrase? So I'd rather have like the sure player. Give up some prospects. I don't know what they're going to turn out to be. Give me the all-star pitcher instead. I know what he is. And for the Panthers trading draft picks, right? Who knows what you're going to get with those draft picks? But give me somebody that you believe can help the team today that has already shown it at that level, because a lot of draft picks don't work out. Even in the first round, it's still a 50-50 proposition. And if you're talking a six-round draft pick, that's giving up nothing for Stephon Gilmore. I've been saying the last 2 days, I like this trade a lot. I love it for the Panthers. I also will tell you, I don't know what they're going to get out of Gilmore. He may be a bust this year. He's only under contract for 11 games with the Panthers. He's 31 years old, coming off his worst season of his career, now coming off an injury. He may be like Richard Sherman. Did you watch Richard Sherman with the Bucks? He may not have anything left. I don't know. It's still worth it to take the chance. And it's a six-round draft pick. You're not giving up anything. So you might as well do it. I'll gladly trade a six-round draft pick. You're not going to draft even a 31-year-old Stephon Gilmore, a player of that potential or caliber, in the sixth round. So it was a great deal for the Panthers. Even if it disrupts their draft moving forward, I like the moves that they are making. And it shows, it sends a good message. Hopefully you've never worked for a company that's struggling, right? That's on their way under. They're going out of business. And you're there on the sinking ship. Hopefully you've never been in that situation. But if you have been, you may be able to pick up on some things along the way. Like, wait a minute, I don't think we're doing too well. I better get my resume together. People take other jobs, they jump ship, and the company doesn't replace them. That's probably not a good sign, right? When they cut out the office happy hours, you used to go out as an office 5 p.m. every Friday. You'd go get drinks on the company. Now no more. It's like, okay, well, that's probably not good. The coffee is gone from the break room. It's the little things. You take a client out to lunch. They say, yeah, sorry, you can't charge it to the company anymore. Right? The per diem changes. It's like, well, these are not good signs. For the Panthers, when J.C. Horn got injured, they could have just said, okay, well, that's it. All right, well, that sucks. We'll hope to get him back and regroup next year. For that company that's struggling, that doesn't have anything left anyway, somebody leaves, like, all right, well, that's it. He left. We don't have the means to replace him. We're going under anyways. It's a better sign if your company were to go out immediately and find a short-term replacement, somebody that maybe used to work at the company, he's retired, he's a consultant, whatever it is, they say, hey, we'll pay you big money, you come back, and you work until we find somebody full-time. Oh, okay, sure. Right? If your company's willing to make an investment like that to use those resources, that's a little more comforting. They care. There is some money here, right? We're doing well enough to just pay this guy to come back and work for a few weeks until we find the permanent solution. We'll pay two people to do the job in the meantime. We're looking to replace somebody right away. Those can be good signs. That's what the Panthers are doing. It was a good sign that J.C. Horn goes down. That's not the good part. The good part is they then follow that up by going and getting two top 10 draft picks. C.J. Henderson last week, Stephon Gilmore this week, both taken in the top 10. Will either one work out? I don't know, but at least the Panthers are trying. They're making moves that show they buy into this team. If they thought this was a lost cause, they wouldn't make those moves. It'd be like the company not replacing the employee after they leave. The company thinks like, oh, what's the point? We're going out of business. Right? And the Panthers would be like, yeah, what's the point? Right? J.C. got hurt. That sucks, but what do you want us to do? We're rebuilding here. We're trying to get ready for next year. No, they want to go win this year. They went out and made big moves and brought in big names. And not only that, but it's a pat on the back, vindication for even Sam Darnold. Not only do they buy into this team, but in order to buy into a team, we have to buy into the quarterback. Like the Broncos are 3-1. I don't buy into the Broncos because I don't think the quarterback's good enough. The defense is really good. The quarterback is not. I don't buy the Broncos. I can buy the Raiders a little bit more because Derek Carr has been playing really well. I can buy the Panthers a little more because Sam Darnold's been playing well. I trust them more than even Teddy Bridgewater. It comes down at the end of the day to the quarterback. The Chiefs are 2-2. I buy into them because they have Patrick Mahomes. I don't buy into Washington football team as much, who is also 2-2, because they have Taylor Heineke. So the Panthers are telling me not only do they buy into this team this season, but most specifically their quarterback, Sam Darnold. And they're taking a shot to go for it this year. They're saying, hey, we're 3-1. We got an easy schedule. The Panthers will be favored as of now in their next five games. We're not just going to sit back and say, oh, that's too bad. J.C. Horn got injured. There goes our secondary. No, we're going to do something about it and try to win something this year. I think if you're a Panthers fan, it's a great message. And these two guys are low-risk, high-reward players. You may get nothing out of them. C.J. Henderson may truly be a bust. Gilmore may be over the hill. We'll find out. But it's worth taking the shot because they have the resources. They have the money. They have the draft picks. Who cares? Take a chance. Try to find that J.C. Horn replacement. Try to go for it this year. Make something of this team. They like this roster and quarterback enough to try, and that's a good sign if you're a Panthers fan. We'll wrap up your Thursday. When we come back, I'll give you my picks for tonight's Thursday night football game. It's a great game to start Week 5 in the NFL, and we'll do it next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
On a funky finish here, Throwback Thursday with a classic here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. You can also find the podcast online or through our app, which allows me to remind you that you can always take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Just search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. And the podcasts are available in the app as well as on our website, charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 9 different states and 4 different countries on this Thursday afternoon, on this Throwback Thursday. I always pick the primetime games here on the show. By the way, I caught a little bit of Greeny's show the other day, and he said, oh, we don't count these for our picks because they're not our official picks, because he does the same. They always pick Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football, because it's fun to do. Well, we count them on our official picks around here. And even with that said, games that I wouldn't necessarily pick, we're still at 58% this year as I pat myself on the back. Anyways, for tonight, Rams at the Seahawks. It's a great game, big game for that division. Rams go to Seattle on a short week, and the Rams are actually favored on the road. This number has gone up a little bit. It is at 2.5. Rams favored by 2.5 in Seattle. I think the Rams win. I would take them to cover. I think the Rams bounce back from this past week. It's a good strategy to bet on teams that were embarrassed the week prior, especially good teams. And the Rams are a good team. And they were kind of embarrassed this past week. They lost to Kyler Murray. First time McVay lost to the Cardinals. And not only did they lose, they got blown out at home. Biggest game of the week last week, those two. And they didn't really show up. And I thought that was a hangover from the win previously against the Buccaneers. I don't think that'll be the case even on a short week with them traveling this week. I think the Rams will be ready to go. Good teams don't lose back-to-back games often. I think the Rams win in Seattle tonight. We talked about it with Charch last hour. This Seattle defense has been lousy this year. Teams have been able to play keep away from Russell Wilson. I think the Rams will be able to do that. I think they'll be explosive against this defense. I think the Rams bounce back and win tonight, therefore covering as well the 2.5 on the road against Seattle. I usually like the home team on short weeks, especially if that home team is a home dog on a short week and the quarterback is Russell Wilson. So I'm going against my typical thought process or strategy or maybe even my heart, but I think the Rams are the play tonight because I just think they win this game. And by the way, after the under hit on Monday, I told you then, I'll remind you now, the under is now 9-2 for primetime games this year in the NFL, so keep an eye out on that. The total tonight is 54 points. These are two teams that can score it. Two defenses that haven't been all that great this year. So the total is 54. Just keep that in mind. The 9-2 in primetime games this year. I may bet that blindly just because of the trend. We'll see how it goes tonight. But a great game, some playoff baseball as well. The Braves begin their series tomorrow, and we'll have a football Friday. Plenty to do. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we have to say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's the Mara Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.